Let me invite you tonight over to the book of James, chapter 2, verse 23 tonight. James, chapter 2, verse 23. James, chapter 2, verse 23 reads this way. It says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we come before your throne asking for your blessings on your word, on the time together here as we look to you. We pray that you would bless us with the guidance and filling of your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And then, Lord, that you would also bless the prayer time to follow. May you be honored and glorified, and may you strengthen the faith that you've given to us. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, the title of the message is simply called The Friend of God, found there in verse 23, called the Friend of God. What a testimony that Abraham had to have been called the Friend of God. And by the way, he still is the Friend of God because he's in the presence of the Lord. And so tonight we want to just take a few moments to look at the marks of being called, or what marks somebody who's called the Friend of God. Now watch this, because this is important. It's God's work in the life and on the behalf of the believer. Let me ask you this. In verse 23, did you notice it says here, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed. That term imputed is a banking term that implies to put to one's account. Who did the imputing? God did, right? God did the imputing. So notice again, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, because that was God's work, and he was called the friend of God. So who was it that made Abraham the friend of God? The same one that will make you and I the friend of God, and that's the Lord, right? And he's opened up that doorway through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight we're just going to look at two thoughts, and that is a profitable faith and then a displayed faith. A profitable faith and a displayed faith. So let's look at verse 14, back up with me there. And let's look at this display of only words. Notice what it says in verse 14. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works?" Can faith save him? Can that kind of a faith save him? Just words. What would you think of an individual or a friend if all they were just words? Could never count on them, just words. I'll do this, I'll do that, and it never transpired, just words. We don't have that kind of a God. That's important. Listen, may you and I be of greater value in our service to the Lord than just lip service. That's what it's called today, right? And this time, during the time of the New Testament, it was just words. Today we call it lip service. Do you want a lot of lip service? That's a lot of talking, but no action, right? And so he wants us to understand that it's more than just words. Verse 15, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" So lip service is not very profitable. It's the action behind what we're saying that makes a difference. Listen, you've heard this, actions speak louder than what? Actions do speak louder than words. We could say one thing, but our profession and what we're doing is something contrary to what we're saying. That's called hypocrisy, and nobody likes it. Even people that are hypocritical don't like hypocrisy, and so we don't want to fall into that realm. So we need to be careful not to have a display of words only, or only words. And then I want you to notice this display of works that will speak louder than words. Look at verse 17 with me here. "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." And James here is saying, I want you to know there is a difference of what we're showing people. We could say we have words, but he says better than words are what we're doing, our works.
that are behind that. We say we have the faith. We say that God is working in and through our lives. And so that ought to be able to be seen. And that's really what the difference is in a life of a believer that is being drawn closer to the Lord or experiencing the work of God in their life and their lives that substantiates the faith. So because God was God working in David's life as a shepherd boy? He was, wasn't he? Was God working in David's life while he was out in the sheepfold there and Samuel came to anoint the next king? Nobody knew, but the Lord was working on David out there. And then all of a sudden, the Lord taught Samuel a lesson, didn't he? He said, oh, listen, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And then he knew, surely this was the Lord's anointed. And it wasn't what Samuel thought. In fact, I don't even think it was what Jesse and the brothers thought, because don't you have any other brothers? Remember any other? And oh yeah, but he's the youngest one. He's out in the field taking care of. They didn't even call him in. They overlooked him a little bit, didn't they? Just slightly, they overlooked him. And you have to understand this. Now remember King Saul, he was the first king. And look how we get into a routine or into a rut, even in our thinking. Listen what happened. He was head and shoulders above all the others. Eliab was a very big man as well. Not as big as Saul, but he was a big man. And you would have thought, oh, this, in fact, Samuel, didn't he say, oh, surely the Lord, that's where the Lord said, listen, don't look on the outward appearance. That's not him. That's not him. That's how man sees, right? And so there was a short change there and a misunderstanding of what God was wanting to do. So he says this in verse 19. He says, thou believest that there is one God. Listen to this. Thou doest well. And we would think, oh my goodness, look, this is so good, right? But then he says, the devils also believe and tremble. Think about that thought the very first time it was read. Somebody's going, boy, that's true, you know. It's important to have works. And then verse 19, thou believest that there is one God? And of course, all the believers would have said, yes, I believe in that. And then he continues on, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Now, the devils fear God. They also believe in him and tremble, but they do not display any work of God's redeeming power. That's the difference right there. There is no, listen, they believe in God. Think about that. Let that sink in just for a moment. Not only do they believe in God, but they tremble at his presence. But they have no redeeming work taking place in their life. Now, you and I, as saved children of God, we have the privilege and the opportunity. It is God's will to perform his redeeming work in every child of God. It's his will. We may not understand it, and we may not allow it, and we may not even believe it, but it is his will. And that is something that we have to take by faith. So in other words, I could say, I can get up in the morning and say, I'm going to have a horrible day. What kind of a day do you think I might have? I'm going to have this is not going to be a good day at all. This is Monday. Not really, it's Wednesday, but I could say that on a Monday, couldn't I? Or I can say, you know what? Listen, on Monday, I could say, my Redeemer liveth. And because he lives, I live also. Not only on this side, but in the life to come. What is that? That's faith. I'm not seeing anything. I'm just simply believing what God has said. Am I not? And you know what? If I look at my day that way and know that God is holding me in his hands and wanting to perform that which is good to me, and I may not always understand what's good for me, but I can trust that he is good to me, then you know what? Listen, there's a peace that will come with that. There's a rest that will come with that. Even if I have a difficult Monday, I will still be reminded that God is in control, holding me in his hands. And you know, the same way that we believe that is the same way. It's by faith, by trusting God, that you know what? Listen, he wants to do a redeeming work in our lives. Now, we're going to either listen to ourselves. That can get us in trouble. We're going to listen to the world, the news. That'll get you in trouble. It'll get you down. I mean, tell me, what good news is there in the news? We say, boy, there's not a lot of good news today. Well, let's go back to the 1940s. Was there good news in the news? That was World War II. Let's go back to the turn of the century. What kind of good news? Well, there was the sinking of the Titanic. There was World War I that broke out. Oh, the Spanish flu. That was must have been a lot of fun too, right? No. But the world, what about the world has no good news? But there is good news in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we focus in on is going to make a difference on our outlook. We can look to ourselves, we can look to the world, and or we can listen to the devil. And the devil, you know who he is. He is the accuser of the brethren. All he will do is point out your flaws. That's all he will do. You just need to remind him, yep, and that's why I've got Jesus. Amen? That's why Jesus died for me. Now, that's not an excuse to live a life that is not redeemed or experiencing the redeeming work of the Lord. But that is to remind us that that's right. I am a child of the King. And I don't have to listen to the devil. I don't have to listen to the world. And I don't have to listen even to myself. Let's look at a couple of things here. And again, look at verse 20. It says, But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? The devils have a dead faith because it has no life in Christ. But God is saying, listen, don't believe in vain. Listen, in fact, don't be a vain individual that think it doesn't matter if I have the redeeming work of God. There are actually people that are saved and are not experiencing the redeeming work of the Lord in their lives. And they may have eternal life, but they're not experiencing the redemptive work of God like God wants them to. They're missing out on experiences on this side of eternity. God says, hey, listen, don't be a vain believer. Don't be somebody who knows and has tasted of the free pardon of sin and live a vain life. When we say somebody is vain, who's the focal point? Who do they think about? So if self is on the throne, can't be the Lord too. It's either going to be ourself or it's going to be the Lord. Last thought here, and this is a displayed faith, and we have Abraham here as an example. He says, was not Abraham, he's backing up, was not Abraham our father justified by works? And the believer would go, oh, yeah, yeah. What kind of works did he do? Well, he left his home, didn't he? He did. Did he know where he was going? No, he didn't know. That's faith. God promised him a son. Can we learn something about that? Yeah. There's a lot of lessons there, isn't there? Yeah. Be careful about the flesh and be careful about trying to fulfill God's plan in your power and in your strength. It will only produce Ishmaels. That's all we'll come up with is Ishmaels. That's what we do for God. Ishmaels. Were they to co-inhabit? Can Ishmael and Isaac dwell together? That's a good lesson there. Listen, we cannot produce the work of God. Stop trying. We'll only come up with Ishmaels. Call upon the Lord. Ask him to help you understand, because he wants to. And here's the thing. We have to see that we need God's help to understand what he's wanting to do in our life. If we figure out, I've got this. So did Sarah and Hagar. They had it too, didn't they? Yeah, they figured it out and came up with Ishmael. And that was nothing but a problem. But see, when we... God, I need you to... Look, you know, God said to him, Abraham, you are going to bear a son. He laughed before Sarah did. I remind you of that because he did. And he said, oh, no, let Ishmael... No. He's not going to, that is not the promise. He has no part. It will be from you and Sarah. That was a hard concept for him to understand. And it's a hard concept for you and I to understand that God will perform what he has promised. We even sing about it. And yet it's a hard concept. And finally, Abraham said, okay, Lord, you show me. I'll begin to listen to you. And then the Lord appeared to him and revealed that message. He must have forgotten to relay that to his wife, because then Sarah laughed behind the tent door there. And Sarah said, I didn't laugh. And the Lord said, oh, yes, you did. And she was quiet because she was afraid. But he said, listen, you're going to bear a son. And then all of a sudden, they did, didn't they? And so, believe it or not, that was also accounted to Abraham and Sarah for faith. They believed the Lord. Now, did they struggle with their faith? Yeah, and I'm so glad God saw fit to record that. Because we struggle with our faith if we're honest. I'll tell you, I do. I understand it better now. But listen, I'm still learning. I'm still growing. Paul said, who wants us to experience the same thing, the same grace that he had. He says, I run this race, but not like I've attained. He says, I'm never going to run this race like I've attained because I'm growing every day and understanding God. Listen, God is a living God. The Word of God is a living Word, amen, that reveals more truth as we look at it, and it gives us more understanding. And so when we consider this, he says, listen, was not Abraham our father justified by works? And there's a lot of things that we can think about that God did for Abraham when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar. And that's probably the best one because that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you think Abraham fully understood what was going on? No, he just knew that God had asked him to do that and made a promise that through his son Isaac that there would be born a nation. So the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that, you know, Abraham believed God that he was going to, through him, raise up a seed. The Holy Spirit in the New Testament is letting us know that Abraham was believing that, I don't know how he's going to do it, but I believe God's going to raise him up from the dead. I think, I think, if I'm wrong, you can point, you were wrong in that. You could say that to me, even in heaven, and I say I was wrong. But I think Abraham was ready to carry forth that sacrifice till God stopped him. And I think that had God let him do that, that God would have raised up Isaac, just like he promised. I think that was what was in Abraham's mind. And then once God saw that, he said, you don't even need to go through with it. I know you would do it. Man, that's amazing. That is amazing. Only God can create a situation like that and it be right. And it be right. And a display of faith. And so the Lord did that for him. And so we find that he was justified by this kind of a faith. And then I want you to notice this maturing faith here in verse 22. And then a fulfilled faith. Look what happens here in verse 22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was made perfect. That word is translated maturing. Or I say maturing all the time, but maturing if you want to be an English major, right? Grammatically correct. Had an English teacher in the ninth grade that she was just like so maturing. That's the first time I ever heard it pronounced like that. But it means coming to a place of growth. Coming to a place of not being like a little baby anymore. Being a full-grown, fully developed individual. And this is talking about the spiritual development here. So he's saying this to the believer. Seest thou, listen, he's saying, see how faith brought together with his works and by works was made mature or perfect. And so this is the kind of faith. It's a justified faith. God brought that to pass. In verse 21, it is a maturing faith in verse 22. And then notice this fulfilled faith in verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. God calls us friends. Isn't that what Jesus said? I don't call you servants anymore. I call you what? Friends. God wants to call us friends. And then lastly, if we truly have faith in God, it will be coupled with the works of God. Listen to verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Isn't that amazing? Not a work that you do, but a work that God does through you. Be careful. Don't create Ishmaels for God. It's going to cause you problems. You don't want to set Ishmaels before the Lord. You want the Lord to provide his blessing and his will in our lives. And that's something that's not really so easily understood. But if we ask God for the understanding, he'll give it. And let me throw one more verse in here. Verse 25, likewise, was not Rahab, listen to this, the harlot justified by works? What did she do? Listen, what it tells us right here, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Listen, her home was with her people. But she was, listen, she believed the Lord. And now she was leaving her home. She was leaving. She believed that God was going to destroy it. And she believed that she should take care of these spies and let them back out. And she said, listen, I want to go with you guys. And they said, you know, everything about the red scarlet cord that was let down, and so that they would know that this is Rahab. And God not only brought her into the family of God, but brought her right into the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. What was she doing? She was saying, I am saying no to my people and yes to the people of God, kind of like Naomi and Ruth, right? Your people are going to be my people. Why? Because by faith, I'm believing that this is the truth, this is the way, and this is life. And so God says that to us. He says, look what Rahab did. And then lastly, we're right here at the end. For as the body without the spirit is dead, listen, so is faith without works, specifically the works of God, is dead also. God doing that work and us wanting to see that work done in us. So tonight, God calls us friends, really, the friends of God. And if we are the friends of God, we'll see his work transpiring, taking place in our lives. And tonight, God says, call on me. Call on me. And he promised to what if we call on him? Answer. But not just answer. Yeah, I know you're their son. I know you're their daughter. But to show us, listen, to show us great and mighty things that we don't even know about, which thou knowest not. And so tonight, God says, enjoy the relationship of being the friend of God and a child of God. Amen? Let him do his work. Ask him to perform the work. And say, Lord, help me to understand how you do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for each one that's turned aside to come and hear more about you. I pray, Lord, that you would bless each and every one of us for being here tonight, those who are unable to be here tonight, that you might strengthen all of our faith and that we might experience more of your grace and work in our lives. Bless the rest of the time together, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.